Gene Bolduc is with us, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for a thing, not a thing, in the game in which Gene and I take a look at all the things that have people upset on social media this week, and we decide, is it a thing or is it not a thing? And as per usual, the thing that has people upset on social media this week is obviously a thing, which is the election that's coming up in 4 days. So we're kind of looking for not things in the midst of all of this, right?
Yeah, I guess that's right. Although, here's what's not a thing. What's not a thing is that Biden is ahead, so everybody should just not worry and take their foot off the gas.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a thing. Everybody, regardless of party, should get out and vote. And the security of our democracy is not that clear right now. So I think that exercising a very strong turnout, which it looks like is happening, is our best defense against, just letting it ride and figuring that it'll all be okay. You know, we can't do that this time. This is up to us. We have to uphold our responsibility to turn out.
Yeah. The one thing...
No matter who we're voting for.
The one thing, for better or worse, I still remember back in like the mid-90s, like 1996 especially, when it was the election between Bill Clinton, who's the incumbent, Bob Dole was the Republican, Ross Perot was running again as an independent, but turnout was super light by presidential standards. It was barely 50%, and that was nationwide, and there was a lot of consternation about, people don't care about the candidates, they don't care about the election. There's just general apathy about the course of the country. Apathy or contentment, I'm not sure, because contentment will keep people and complacency will keep people at home as well. And there's
right.
There's something to be said for being content, but for whatever reason, like people were staying at home and turnout was barely 50%. And now you look at North Carolina and we've got today and tomorrow left in early voting, plus actual election day, not to mention whatever absentee votes haven't been received yet, but are still going to be received in the next coming days that people haven't sent in yet or that just sent them in a couple of days ago. Turnout's already 55 in North Carolina. 55% with 4 million votes cast. Like, we're going to be well past 60, probably past 70% turnout by the time we get to the end of this, which is...
I think so.
Yeah, which is something to be said.
It's pretty amazing. You know, I think it was in the state of Hawaii, I saw, that they have now had in early voting more votes cast than in any previous election total, not just in the early voting cycle, but total.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see some numbers that you and I in our lifetimes have never seen for turnout.
Yeah.
Even in the biggest turnout. Do you happen to know by any chance what the highest percentage is of turnout in a presidential?
Oh, it's going to be really high because turnout was extremely high in the 19th century. It was very high, like up in beyond what we would see today, I think.
Oh, well, okay. Of course, that's a percentage of eligible voters, right?
Right.
That would leave me out. Would leave out a number of my
friends. A lot of people, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess when it's, mostly white male landowners and not a broad swath of the American people at that time.
Yeah.
It's easier to get a higher percentage. I'm thinking in modern times.
In modern times, all right. If Wikipedia is to be believed, turnout
64?
Of 1964 was 61%. So voter turnout was higher in the 60s than it is today. It peaked in 1960, which makes sense because that was a close race, Kennedy Nixon.
Right.
It bottomed out in 1996. Voter turnout was 49% that year. And I think that's 49% of people who were old enough to vote, not necessarily registered voters. But still only 49%. But if you go back to if you go back to the 1800s, like the election of 1876, which is another pivotal election, turnout was 82% right. that year.
Wow.
So it was very high.
You have this in front of you, so I'll pester you some more.
Yeah.
What was the turnout in 1972? And I asked this, and I'm thinking it was lower, but it was probably a lot more voters than in 68, because that's the year that the age of majority went down.
Correct.
The voting age dropped to 18.
Yes. So voter turnout in 1968 was about 61%. In 1972,
right.
it dropped to 55, but you're right, 4 million more people actually voted, and that's got to be
right.
the age thing. Yep.
Yeah, interesting. Despite the... this is just my personal recollection. Despite how much America, you know, we talked before about division, the previous existence of sharp political divisions, and this country was very divided in 1972
yes.
about the Vietnam War, but reelected Nixon.
Yeah. And therefore reelected Nixon, like the division kind of led to his
yeah.
reelection. Rick Perlstein has a great book, Nixon Land, about how the country just shifted, just did a complete 180 between 1964, just overwhelmingly voting for Johnson over Goldwater. And then 8 years later, after having overwhelmingly picked the Democrat in 64, they're overwhelmingly picking the Republican in 72. And what happened in those 8 years to cause the shift, and how the country just got so incredibly divisive in that period of time. It's a
wow.
fascinating read, and it's a good reminder. And again, you know, there's something reassuring, but also sobering and frustrating about reading history. It's the fact that we've been through a lot of this before, but we haven't ever quite emerged out of it. We keep having these same fights over and over again. And the divisions that we're seeing today, we were seeing 50 years ago in the 60s and early 70s.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that the other day after you and I spoke, and I thank you again for being a guest on my program this weekend, talking about the election and 2020 overall. I was thinking about how when I was watching John Lewis's funeral,
mm-hmm.
and they were and his celebration of his life, that they were going through some of these many checkpoints in history of these incredible things that he did in his life and suffered through and put himself at risk for. And I remember thinking that, and on one hand, it is important to look back and see that we've been through these things and come out of them in a way, but it was also kind of disheartening to feel like, wow, look at that. That's so long ago, and yet we're right back there. We're right back there.
Yeah.
In some ways. That's discouraging.
We've got to wrap up. You mentioned I'm one of your guests on the water cooler this weekend, but I'm not the only one, right?
You're not the only one. We have a nice compilation of some previous interviews and special segments that I recorded with Penny Rich, who talks about election night and what she's recommending folks do on election night, which is generally speaking, stay home and celebrate safely. With Quentin Harper talking about COVID and George Floyd, and with Jeff Nieman, a great friend of WCHL, talking about how the criminal justice system in Orange County is managing in the time of COVID. And, you know, I have to say, I'll say it again and again, they do a great job at the courthouse and in managing what they are doing in their jobs. It's kind of an unsung. They all need to be hometown heroes sometime.
Yeah. Did you talk to him before the courthouse had to close or after?
Oh, no. I talked to him several weeks ago about
okay.
this. And he talked about how they have these protocols, and they are very, very serious about protecting their employees
mm-hmm.
as well as prisoners that they have custody of. So it's a very difficult job, and I think it's one that is certainly appreciated by me. So there you go.
The weekend water cooler. The weekend water cooler airs on 97.9 The Hill weekends, as per the show title. Weekendwatercooler.com for the full archives, and get all the show times at chapelboro.com on the broadcast calendar. Gene Bolduc, as always, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Trick or treat, Aaron Keck.